You realize, of course, that we could never be friends.
Why not?
What I'm saying is, and this is not a come on in any way, shape, or form, is that men and women can't be friends because the sex part always gets in the way.
That's not true. I have a number of men friends and there is no sex involved.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You only think you do.
You're saying I'm having sex with these men without my knowledge?
No, what I'm saying is they all want to have sex with you.
They do not.
Do too.
They do not.
Do too.
How do you know?
Because no man can be friends with a woman that he finds attractive. He always wants to have sex with her.
So you're saying that a man can be friends with a woman he finds unattractive?
No, you pretty much want to nail them, too.
What if they don't want to have sex with you?
Doesn't matter, because the sex thing is already out there, so the friendship is ultimately doomed, and that is the end of the story.
Well, I guess we're not going to be friends, then.
Guess not.
30 years ago, the movie When Harry Met Sally asked the question humans have been asking themselves forever. What are the odds a friendship between a hetero woman and hetero man can avoid romantic attraction rearing its head? Most of us know how it played out with Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal's characters, but I'd like to know how it's played out in yours, particularly if you are or were in a romantic relationship at the same time that you enjoyed a very close friendship with a member of the other gender. How did it interact with your romantic relationship and with your other gender close friendship? We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. Studying this very issue is our guest, Leetra Gilchrist-Petty, Associate Professor of Communication Arts at the University of Alabama, Huntsville. She's co-author of a study recently published in the Journal of Relationships Research. Professor Gilchrist-Petty, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Larry. Good to be here.
So you recruited 346 people, age range 18 to 64, two different population centers, the American South, the American Midwest, to sort of look at this issue of jealousy and how it plays out in the romantic relationship for the individual versus a close friendship between two people of opposite genders. So what were your findings?
Yes, what you mentioned in terms of the background and the demographics of the study is absolutely correct. So what we wanted to do was to really look at, from a modern day perspective, how jealousy is manifested in terms of how someone may experience as well as express it when your significant other has someone who is considered a cross-sex best friend. And we absolutely found several very unique findings. First of all, one thing we wanted to do with the study was to study different relationship types. Individuals who were currently single, maybe they were not currently in a relationship with a cross-sex best friend, but they once were, and they could reflect on those attitudes. Individuals who were currently dating, as well as those who were presently married, and even those who were engaged. And what we found that individuals who were most accepting of this notion of having a cross-sex best friend were our dating and our single individuals. And this we found somewhat interesting, but not totally surprising, because every person that we date, we do not necessarily have assumptions of longevity with them.
Sure.
If you understand where I'm going.
Yeah, there's not a potential threat, I put in quotation marks.
Absolutely. Maybe you're my dating partner for now, but in the back of my mind, I'm kind of keeping my options open. I'm thinking, maybe there's a question mark about the future. We may have longevity. We may not. So that kind of made some sense. We actually initially thought that our married couples might be the population most unaccepting of a cross-sex best friend, but actually it was our engaged to be married. Now, when we really reflected on this group and their mostly negative attitudes about having a cross-sex best friend, the more we thought about it, it began to kind of come together. Because if you think about it, individuals who are engaged to be married, they're almost there, right? They almost have at least the assumption of permanence and longevity, but not quite. And plus, many individuals in the engaged state you know, they're shuffling many things. They're talking about how are we going to, you know, handle our finances once we couple up? Where are we going to live? Many are planning very extravagant weddings and the expense of that and the stress of that and merging families, and perhaps there are already children involved that you have to get acclimated. So perhaps having a cross-sex best friend coupled with all the things I just mentioned is just adding another layer of stress that these individuals are already dealing with. So hence, they have the most negative attitude regarding having a cross-sex best friend.
It makes perfect sense to me. As you describe, they're heavily invested, which obviously a married couple is, but they're in a more stressful place trying to deal with all the different moving parts. And the other issue is they're less secure than a married couple because the deal hasn't been closed yet. So all of that, to me, would not make it surprising that individuals in engaged relationships would feel less secure about their fiancés having very close friendships with people of the other sex. Love to hear from listeners. How has this played out in your relationship, your romantic relationship? Has it been a problem? You've got a close friend who's the other gender. How has this played out in your romantic relationship? Has it been a problem? Did your spouse start out maybe not being very accepting, but over time came to accept that you've got this person who's very close in your life? 866-893-KPCC or the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. Also, if you are in a long-term close friendship with someone of the other gender, how did you address, if you did, that issue of any sexual tension or attraction? How did you manage that? Or have you just completely avoided that? It's just assumed there isn't any of that in your friendship. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Professor Gilchrist Petty, you can find yourselves in this study just to heterosexuals. Has there been much study of this among gay men and lesbians?
Very little. The traditional model has absolutely looked at the heterosexual context, kind of building off of how you began this segment with Harry Met Sally. And pop culture in particular has informed a lot of what we study. So, for example, if we look at a movie such as Harry, When Harry Met Sally, as well as many other, even some sitcoms such as, you know, The X-Files, The Office, Friday Night Lights, I could go on and on, we tend to see perhaps this friendship component between a heterosexual male and female that somehow kind of morphs into something else, more romantic, more sexual, or at least there is the opportunity for those things. Now, what's interesting, the only time we tend to not see it is when the two individuals tend to be totally unmatched. So, for example, let's say if we see a male and a female together and one is considerably older than the other, we might not necessarily go towards the, oh, you have to be a romantic couple, or one is totally outmatched, so we perceive, than the other based on physical attraction, in that we see one of the individuals being kind of quote-unquote out of the other's league, then we would not necessarily perceive them to be in a romantic, or at least the potential for a romantic situation. And so that's kind of, you know, we see it in popular culture. That's where the literature is also kind of reflecting that model.
We have a listener who posts on the AirTalk page, to be friends with the other gender, you have to get sex out of the way first. That's funny. Because there are, of course, many people who had, you know, some degree of sexual relationship with someone and then became friends. They decided, you know, this isn't going to work as a relationship. And so, you know, and maybe they stop having sex, but continue to be friends. So that's another aspect, and in a sense, maybe as the listener says, that sort of makes it more of a settled issue. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. We'll take your calls. We continue in just 1 minute.
Why can't we be friends?
When you've got friendships that are very close, a man and a woman, how does that factor into the romantic relationships that one or both of the friends might be in? And what are some of the issues if there's sexual attraction, maybe a romantic history that's part of the friendship? How does this all get addressed? We're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Jennifer in Long... Oh, we just lost Jennifer. Michael in North Hollywood, you're on AirTalk.
Hey, so I got married when I was 21, and we moved away from L.A., and when we moved back, I've always had girls that are friends my entire life. Like, that's normal to me. When we moved back, my first wife, she wasn't okay with it. A lot of the girls, like, ended up having feelings for me. But now I've gotten married again, and because I've been in L.A. and have these long-term friendships with people, I mean, with females, like, my wife is okay with it. She understands. Like, we've been friends for so long, it's not a problem at all.
If there's any degree of a physical or emotional romantic attraction with the woman who's a friend, do you explicitly, you know, deal with that with the woman? Is it kind of in the background, or is that just never an issue?
I think it's always in the background. Like, I mean... When you're friends with somebody, like good friends with somebody, there's some level of attraction, you know? I mean, even if it's just to their personality or something, it's never, you don't ever talk about it, because I feel like when you talk about it, it puts something out there that you probably don't want.
Yeah. So you just sort of, you don't bring up that issue. But do you feel like that's always controllable? That in other words, you or the woman is your friend, you might have those sorts of feelings, but, you know, you're both in command of yourselves enough, you're not going to act on that.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's a choice. I mean, to be in a relationship every day, even married, it's a choice every single day. It's a choice to not let it go anywhere. And I mean, most of the time it's pretty easy, because once you're in that friendship, you just know it's just different.
All right. I appreciate it, Michael. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Jane in Beverly Hills, what do you think?
Hi. Yeah, I have an interesting experience with this. So when I was in college, my best friend and my boyfriend at the time became really good friends. And I always felt slightly uncomfortable about it, because they were pretty close and I knew them independently. And they both kind of expressed to me like, oh, I'm not attracted to this person. I'm not interested in this person. Nothing's going to happen. And then as soon as I left to study abroad, they ended up dating. And that was not great for me, obviously.
That must have been extremely hurtful, and particularly for you to be a long distance away.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, because she was like one of my best friends and I was alone in a foreign country, obviously. And I mean, to me, I've always had friends of the opposite gender and I've been, you know, able to hold those boundaries. But it was pretty awful when you're in the situation where other people aren't able to.
Has it made you less trusting? I don't know if you're in a relationship now, but if you are, or if you're anticipating one in the future, do you think it would make you less likely to trust that your boyfriend or husband could have a close friendship with a woman and that not be a threat?
Yeah, so I think I am in a relationship now. And when we first started dating, I think I was pretty clear, A, that I had had this experience in the past and it was pretty hurtful. And then B, you know, that I, you know, wasn't super comfortable. And so he did a really good job of like assuading those fears, kind of being like, look, this isn't going to be an issue. So I think it's just kind of, it takes some time to build up trust with anybody. But I think definitely I was less trusting than the average person because of that experience and how traumatic it was for me.
Understandably. Jane, thanks so much. Appreciate your call. Let's talk with Sarah in Santa Monica. Sarah, what's your experience?
Well, I have had two male friends that I used to go out with all of the time. I called them my male girlfriends, because we were close. We discussed things. We felt them from the heart. We talked as girls do with one another, as I'm not sure men do, but one of them moved away, so I don't get to see him anymore. But the other one married. We go out to theater. We go out to music. We go out to art events all the time, and his wife actually encourages it. I can't begin to tell you how wonderful a relationship with this man it is. Absolutely no sexual feelings, no sexual tension. We've been friends for 30 years, so this is a strong, good, solid friendship I'm very proud of.
And for the three decades of this friendship, is it fair to say that there was not a physical or romantic attraction from the very beginning, and is that what made it easier?
Maybe. Not ever a question of being physically or sexually attracted or romantically attracted to one another. We just had a very, very, we still have a very deep and solid friendship. We went out to a theater last night, so.
That's funny. And it's just the two of you. It's not.
Yeah.
All right. Sarah, thanks so much. We appreciate it. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Angie writes on the page, my best friend was a male. We attended college and law school together. We lived together. My parents and his parents wished he married my sister. We later organized each other's weddings. We both loved football and politics. He passed away a few years ago, and I miss him dearly. His surviving spouse and I are close. However, she left Los Angeles about 3 years ago. That's Angie writing on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Let me go back to a professor from the University of Alabama, Huntsville, Alitra Gilchrist-Petty, Associate Professor of Communication Arts. We're talking about the study that she co-authored, looking at how jealousy and those feelings factor into it. The range of what we've heard so far, is this along the lines of what you saw in your research, Professor?
Absolutely. The callers and the writers on the internet, they are right on point. And I think it goes back to the core question that we're asking. Can men and women just be friends? The answer is yes. However, it's a little tricky. And there are several things that kind of go into that trickiness. So for one, has there never been any sexual or physical contact from the onset? If that has never happened, then that kind of lays the foundation for that friendship to remain absolutely platonic. Another situation that factors into it is how comfortable your significant other is when you do have someone of the opposite sex who is considered your best friend. And there are several things that we can do to kind of mitigate that. Number one, just be open from the onset. One reason why I was motivated to participate in this study was that I have a very good opposite sex best friend, and I am married, and I remember when my husband and I were dating, I remember early on in the relationship, I told him about my good friend, and we, you know, hung out together,
yeah.
And he was able to see the dynamic and say, oh, they're just, you know, great friends. They met in grad school.
Yeah, yeah, I'm almost out of time, but yeah. And so it worked out in your case.
It worked out very well.
Thank you, Professor. Good to talk with you. That's Professor and Researcher Alitra Gilchrist-Petty, University of Alabama, Huntsville. Coming up next, Film Week on 89.3 KPCC.